Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Verses 15 to 33, Ephesians chapter 5. Then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Again, Hebrews 13, verse 4. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the fact that you're a good God, you're a great God, you're a wonderful and blessed Heavenly Father. You made us in your image, and you made us male and female, and we glorify you as we walk out that which you've called us to be and to do. Thank you for the gifts of marriage and family and loved ones and homes. Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Help us to glorify you as men and women of God, as husbands and wives of God, as fathers and mothers of God, as boys and girls of God. More and more, help us to glorify you in every area of our lives as it relates to relationships, sexuality, and marriage as well. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your promises. Thank you so much for your provision. Father, thank you so much that you make a way for us to thrive in your kingdom. And Father, thank you so much that we can build things that will last for eternity. Thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that equips us, that empowers us. And Father, I just ask that we would yearn more for your truth, that we could yearn more to grow more in you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. We're continuing our campaign working with the great and outstanding ministry known as Preborn. American Family Radio is partnering with Preborn to provide free ultrasounds for women who are considering abortion. Our goal is to help provide at least 4,500 free ultrasounds, and we've come a long ways. We're almost to our goal, but we have a little ways further to go. Please get involved. Keep in mind that, again, Preborn has also, as a ministry, has partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across our nation, providing life-saving ultrasounds. And your sponsorship provides mothers who choose life with maternity and baby clothes, as well as free ultrasounds, Diapers, car seats, counseling, and much more. All of these services are provided free of charge to the moms, and they give assistance up to 2 years beyond the time of the baby's birth as well. So again, Preborn is a wonderful ministry to get behind. Your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving that mom the chance to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. The number to call to make a pledge to help in this very important effort is 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to give at AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. Please prayerfully consider to get involved. Today on the Hour of Intercession, we're looking specifically at the topic of relationships, sexuality, and marriage, a Bible point of view. Again, relationships, sexuality, and marriage, a Bible point of view. Now, a very important question is, what does the Bible have to say about this area of life when we're looking specifically at human relationships, the whole reality of sexuality, and marriage as well? So let's look in the Word of God and see what God's Word has to say, because actually God's Word has a lot of insight, a lot of counsel and direction to help us understand from God's perspective how we glorify Him in these areas of our lives, specifically as it relates to relationships in life, human sexuality, and marriage as well. Looking first in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Again, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so right off, we find God's word is very clear here. God made us as male and female. There are only two genders. There are no more. And God made us that way. And we glorify God. Men glorify God as being men. And women glorify God as being women. All of us made in the image of God. So again, great wisdom and insight. I want to read those two verses again. Again, Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So again, there are only two genders, no more. And it's important for us to know that God created us. So God, better than anybody else, knows the reality and the truth behind life as he made it to be. Then continuing in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2, verses 18, beginning at verse 18. Again, Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.' And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. And so here in Genesis chapter 2, it further explains more about the creation when God created man. And God said very early in creation. It's not good that man should be alone. And of course, we see how God established the institution of marriage. God created marriage. It wasn't something men came up with. It's an institution God created. It was for man. Again, God stated very clearly, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And so God created Adam a wife, and of course her name was Eve, and they made up the first marriage and the first family in the world. Looking further in the scriptures, the passage we read earlier, reading it once again, Ephesians 5, picking up at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 33. And one more time, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. So these are just a few passages that address the topics such as relationship, sexuality, and marriage. And our goal is to share a biblical perspective because remember, God's word, the written word of God, the Bible, it's the true perspective. It's the correct perspective. The fact is, sadly, we live in a world that has lots and lots of opinions that go in all sorts of directions that don't line up with the wisdom and the counsel of God's word. But remember, God's counsel is always correct, it's always right, and we're wise to line up with his counsel, not the opinions and perspectives of people throughout our world and our culture. So looking to the Word of God is very, very important. It's so important for us to look to God's Word for guidance and direction for men and women who are looking at getting married, for men and women who are married, to know how to be the right kind of husband, the right kind of wife, because the fact is, left to ourselves, we do not know how. The fact is, we need a lot of help when it comes to preparing for marriage. We need a lot of help when it comes to being married husbands and wives. And of course, parents, a huge part of what the church is called to is that we're to be very diligent to teach and train our children, our sons and our daughters, how to be godly men and how to be godly women who may very well one day become a husband or a wife. We need to do things God's way. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we as families have to be able to teach and train our children to be godly husbands and godly wives. Help us to diligently be about your business in doing just that. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
To meet you in this place. see you face to face, will you show me? Reveal yourself to me because of your mercy. I can feel your presence here with me. Suddenly I'm lost within your beauty. Caught up in the wonder of your touch. Here in this moment I surrender to your
music from Mercy Me with Here With Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic relationship, sexuality, and marriage, a Bible point of view. Before we get back to that, we're reminding you once again, we're continuing our campaign as American Family Radio cooperates with the ministry, the National Ministry Preborn, and we're inviting you to help us to reach the goal of helping to provide 4,500 free ultrasounds to women who are considering abortion. Your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving her the chance to and the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasounds, reaching five women with the message of life. The number to call to make a pledge to help with this very important effort, 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396, or you can donate online at AFR.net. Again, that's at AFR.net. Again, we're looking today at the topic relationship, sexuality, and marriage, a Bible point of view, and we're today is part one of what we'll be dealing with. Well, it's so critical that we as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ understand the priorities God has laid out for us and that we're committed to carrying out those priorities. One of those, obviously, is, as we're told in Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world and make disciples. Well, a very helpful truth to understand about that is every issue in life is a discipleship issue. Every matter, every concern. In other words, how do we serve God or honor God in this area of our lives? How do we take the Word of God and apply its wisdom and its counsel in order for us to honor God and to follow God in this area of our lives? So that is certainly true to all sides of life, including the areas of relationships, sexuality, and marriage. How, keep in mind a very important part of the work we as the church are called to do. We're called to carry the gospel to the world because in order for us to do things God's way, first and foremost, people really do need to be saved. They need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in order to genuinely fulfill the call of God upon their lives and to live a life that honors and pleases the Lord. Today, there's a huge need for us as the church to make one of the priorities God has called us to the priority needs to be in terms of specifically teaching our children what the Word of God says about relationships, sexuality, and marriage. Sadly, we live in a day and time in which many children have access to the internet, and there's all sorts of pornography and other sorts of things that give children a perverted perspective and a perverted point of view on relationships and sexuality and marriage. It's important that they get their guidance and direction from the Word of God, which is a correct perspective. We live in a day and time in which lots of young adults are choosing to cohabitate Another word for that is shack up, you know, to live together rather than getting married as husbands and wives. Again, it's so important for us to know that God's word has counsel and guidance to help us to do things in a way that honors the Lord. One of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not commit adultery. And going back again to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Well, the two biblical words that are just mentioned there, fornication, that's when unmarried people are involved sexually. So a boyfriend and girlfriend that are involved sexually, that's sin. That's against the word and the will of God. If two men or two women get involved sexually, that's sin. That's against the word and the will of God. Adultery is when someone who is married gets involved with someone that they're not married to sexually. That's adultery. That's sin. That's against the word and the will of God. Sex is to happen between a married husband and wife, married man and woman, married husband and wife, nowhere else. Yet sadly, we live in a culture where lots of boyfriends and girlfriends are involved sexually. Lots of casual friends are involved sexually. Lots of men are involved with other men, women involved with other men. All of those are against the word and the will of God. God's will, and remember, the word of God is the will of God. As we look to the word of God, it'll help us to know how we can honor God in this area of our lives. I recall recently having a conversation with a young man, and he was being very candid. He asked the question, well, what do you do with your desires if you're not married? Well, God's answer to young people is get married. Now, some might say, well, it's not quite that simple and not quite that easy. Well, keep in mind, the key is, first and foremost, give your life to Christ and then begin to seek to do things His way, because the Lord Jesus knows how to help you find the spouse that you need, the husband or the wife. But the key is, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So we need to begin to live a life where we honor God and we're serving God with our lives, as opposed to thinking, well, I just need God to bless me with what I need, and thinking that God's going to bless us on our terms. It's important that you understand life is to be lived in service to Jesus Christ. Life was designed to be lived where we know God and we're following God and we're seeking to honor Him in the way we live our lives in every area of life, including the area of relationships, sexuality, and marriage as well. So a key in life is, first and foremost, give your life to Jesus Christ. Get saved. Once you ask Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, you've addressed the most critically important issue in your life, challenge in your life, first getting saved. But now you have the Holy Spirit to help guide and direct you, and you have the opportunity to read the Word of God and be guided by the Word of God in terms of how you honor God in the area of relationships and sexuality and marriage as well. Yes, God knows how to guide you to the right husband, the right wife, but the key is begin to seek to do things God's way. Remember, God's way is the best way to do any and everything. So again, we live in a culture where lots of people are cohabitating again or shacking up. Well, even many young adults who are going to church are involved with cohabitation. Again, cohabitation, just the fancy word for shacking up. They're living together as if they're husband and wife, but they're not actually married. I do recall many years ago listening to a minister who gave some terrible advice. He was speaking of a man and woman who'd been living together, and basically his perspective was, well, they're practically married. No, they're not, because it's important that we do marriage according to the word and the will of God. Now, the marriage ceremony per se is not found in Scripture, but what you do find in Scripture is that God is a God of covenant, and He calls husbands and wives to make a covenant. They're called to make a covenant before God, to each other, and before God, and it's to be till death do us part. Nowadays, you hear people coming up with their own marriage vows, which too often are not biblical. Again, they too are to be lined up with the word of God. It's a commitment till death do us part. But sadly, nowadays, you may find people making up vows that say something like they'll be committed until they find someone they like, till they find someone they like better, or till they get tired of each other. Crazy vows. They need to be based on the word of God and based on covenant that lines up with Scripture as well. So it's important that we seek to do things God's way. Remember, God's way is the best way to do any and everything. And so marriage is to be till death do us part. That's the goal for each and every marriage. I want to take time now to share an article entitled Marriage, God's Way is Always the Best Way. Again, marriage, God's way is always the best way. If you want to get a copy, simply email us. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Again, the title, Marriage, God's Way is Always the Best Way. Uh-oh, not again. As the new pastor of Leonard Chapel, I had serious concerns over something I'd seen in the church directory. The names of two members, let's call them Mr. Brown and Miss Rice, were in different places in the directory, but under each one the same address. A mistake, perhaps? Or I thought, hopefully, maybe a coincidence with some innocent explanation. But alas, this was not the case. Soon I learned a truth I really didn't want to hear. Mr. Brown and Miss Rice were living together, functioning as husband and wife, but had never married. They had lived together for many years and had a number of children together. Still, for whatever reason, they had never chosen to marry. I knew this was not a matter to rush into headlong, pastorally. It needed to be addressed prayerfully and carefully, with the clear wisdom and counsel of the Holy Spirit. And quite honestly, I found myself dragging my feet about dealing with the matter. Miss Rice was attending church faithfully and was very attentive in church. And Mr. Brown came as well, though not as regularly as Miss Rice. It appeared that, at least on some level, they were truly seeking God and His righteousness. Why shake things up? Over time, the Holy Spirit kept nudging me to speak to the couple about their cohabitation. My reluctance to act on that nudge stemmed in part from an incident a few years earlier pastorally that I dealt with when I was serving a different congregation in a similar situation some years ago. In that case, two people in key leadership positions in the church were living together, unmarried, and I felt led to graciously confront them. So carefully, biblically, and with love, I approached them and tried to communicate that, as believers, it's important for us to do things God's way. Without going into great detail, let me say that my attempt at biblical diplomacy basically blew up in my face. The two individuals were highly offended, and with significant support from others in the church, including their family and others, they took action. In a very short time, I was no longer the pastor of that church, and that was that. Now, facing a similar case, part of me felt like I had good reason to decide not to touch this situation with a 10-foot pole. Still, the Holy Spirit was definitely directing me otherwise. Then one day, a few months later, the Lord arranged a chance, an opportunity for me to speak with Miss Rice. And I had hoped to meet with the couple together, but that scenario didn't work out that day. Instead, my wife and I had the opportunity to sit and talk quietly with Miss Rice alone. Now, allow me to be clear on this point. People are much too precious to be handled roughly or abrasively, even when we're giving them the truth. God's word directs us to speak the truth in love. So the three of us spoke together calmly and earnestly. And when it came to confronting Miss Rice in a gracious way, basically what I said was, Sister Rice, you come to church regularly and faithfully. You're very attentive, and you seem to have a genuine love for the Lord and the things of God. Yet I want to graciously bring this issue before you to think about. Why not do things God's way and get married? To be honest, I didn't know what reaction to expect, whether offense or anger or something else. Initially, Ms. Rice sat graciously and quietly, saying nothing. She seemed to be thinking deeply about my words, and it was as though I could see in her heart in her eyes, which were shining with tears forming there. The first thing she said was, "How did you know?" After I explained briefly about the quote-unquote coincidence of their addresses in the directory, we began to talk further. Afterward, an ongoing three-way conversation developed between Miss Rice, my wife, and I, during which I learned that Miss Rice and Mr. Brown had lived together for more than 20 years, raising their children together and functioning as a family. I wanted to marry, but we just never did, Miss Rice confessed one day. But now, she added, I really think I want to do this, to make this step. It was decided that my wife and I would talk with Mr. Brown about the matter soon. First alone, then with him and Miss Rice together. When the four of us met together, Mr. Brown, too, seemed open to getting married at last. I reminded the couple that it was their decision to make together, but I urged them that it would be wise to take this step and to take it fairly soon, possibly within the next month or two. I felt certain that postponing the decision indefinitely or deciding but relegating the act itself to a vague sometime in the future would be neither helpful nor fruitful. The two of them decided that, yes, they would marry, and they selected a date, opting for a relatively short, quote-unquote, engagement. The two seemed surprisingly excited, especially Miss Rice. Her demeanor seemed to me more like that of a 20-year-old virgin bride-to-be than of an unmarried matron who has already shared a home with the father of her children for more than two decades. We'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic relationships, sexuality, and marriage. A Bible point of view. We'll be right back. Music of Rich Mullins with Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic relationship, sexuality, and marriage, a Bible point of view, part one. And we were sharing from an article entitled Marriage, God's Way is Always the Best Way. So picking up once again with that article. The two of them decided that, yes, they would marry, and they selected a date, opting for a relatively short, quote-unquote, engagement. The two seemed surprisingly excited, especially Miss Rice. Her demeanor seemed to be more like that of a 20-year-old virgin bride-to-be than of an unmarried matron who has already shared a home with the father of her children for more than two decades. Marriage as God intended. The date arrived, and the wedding was beautiful. Their three daughters were in the wedding party, and as I watched their proud procession, I could not help thinking what a positive message and life lesson this was to the three children from their parents. A number of other relatives were either in the wedding or present to witness the momentous occasion. One of Ms. Rice's sisters said that she'd been praying for that for years. Of course, I personally felt privileged not only to witness the wedding, but also to perform the ceremony. I remember distinctly during those precious moments of the solemnization, seeing the tears of joy streaming down Miss Rice's face. I believe those were tears that flowed from a heart that was seeing a long-awaited dream finally fulfilled. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Besides making a public affirmation of their lifelong commitment to one another, those unconventional newlyweds also sent a very powerful message out that day, not only to their family, but to the entire community, that marriage, as God ordained it, is more than a domestic arrangement, more than a civil union, and far more than something two people just decide to do or not do, depending on their emotional attachment or personal convenience. Marriage, done according to the word of God and the will of God, is a blessed and honorable estate. It's an act of community and of communion designed to reflect the mystery of God's divine love for his people, even as it establishes a family within his kingdom. And although some might argue that the ceremony was superfluous, no one looking upon the radiant face of the bride that day would have needed to ask whether, even after more than 20 years, marriage really matters. It does matter, because God meant for it to matter. As tough as that confrontation seemed to be, I will never regret having spoken to the couple, now known as Mr. and Mrs. Brown. We in the church must not only be willing to lovingly, aggressively share God's word with others, but we must aggressively encourage others to live by its wisdom. The word of God reveals to us the heart of God, who always wants the best for his children, which is why God's way is always the best way to do anything. Again, the title of this article is Marriage, God's Way is Always the Best Way. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Again, we're looking today at the topic, Relationships, Sexuality, and Marriage, a Bible Point of View. Keep in mind, it's so important that we, again, as parents, teach and train our children, our sons and daughters, teach and train and help to prepare and mold them to one day become a godly husband or a godly wife, if that be a part of their future. That should be a goal for us. And it's important that we use the Word of God as the main textbook and guide for helping them to know the Word and the will of God. You know, Ephesians chapter 5 is a good chapter for every couple to read through, to read it and think about it and pray and ask God to help you live by its wisdom and its counsel, encouraging husbands and helping them to know how they're to honor God in living the life of a husband that honors the Lord. Wisdom and insight for wives, knowing the will of God for how a wife is to honor God as a wife. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 has important insight about marriage, relationships, and sexuality as well. For time reasons, we won't read it here, but every husband and wife would be wise to read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 as well. You know, some of the biggest challenges in marriages today, some of them include, let me just mention some of them. Some of them include, number one, communication. Number two, money conflicts. Number three, intimacy issues or sexuality issues. Number four, division of responsibility or labor within the home. And then lastly, children and how to raise children as well. Now, there are others, but those are some of the five biggest challenges in marriages. And one point of encouragement we want to share with every husband and wife listening is, keep in mind, you're wise to spend a lot of time and energy praying about the issues of your marriage. Every couple would be wise to pray. For example, pray the prayer of Jabez over your communication. Ask the Lord to anoint your communication as husbands and wives, because the fact is, it's a tremendous area of conflict with lots and lots of couples. And sadly, some couples may end up going their separate ways because of a lack of the ability to really communicate. Money issues, money conflicts. Oh, that's a big area of need, where husbands and wives don't see eye to eye when it comes to money and how they use it, how they spend it, how they save it, and related issues. Again, that's a tool the devil will try to use to end marriages time and time again. Pray and ask God to anoint you and help you to come into unity in the way you use and oversee your finances as husband and wife. Then intimacy issues. You know, the fact is, it's wise for every husband and wife to pray over your sexual relationship. The fact is, husbands and wives are to be intimate on a consistent basis. Now, the fact is, you know, every couple's different. But sadly, you have couples that may think, well, this is not an important part of life. I want to make this very, very clear to every single listener. Again, our topic today is relationship, sexuality, and marriage, a Bible point of view. In the areas of relationships and sexuality and marriage, it's just a huge part of life. And the sexual relationship between a husband and wife is very, very important. Husbands and wives should come together intimately, sexually, on a consistent basis. And the fact is, it's important that we understand that God's word speaks to this, and we'll plan, Lord willing, to deal with it more so on the next broadcast. But I want you to keep in mind, every couple is wise to, again, pray the prayer of Jabez over your sexual relationship. Why? Because it is an area of conflict the devil will try to use, if he can, to destroy your marriage. It's important that you decide that if the Word of God speaks to this part of your life, and again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I would encourage every couple listening, read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, because it has clear guidance for you in the area of your intimate relationship. And it's an area where lots of couples have never read it. And sometimes they may have read it, but they ignore what God has to say. Basically, amongst other things, the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 lets you know, as husbands and wives, stop telling each other no. Have an open door policy with one another. Why should that even be said? Because God's word speaks to it. So again, pray over your intimate relationship as husbands and wives. Division of responsibilities. Who should do what in the home? Well, that too is an area you pray over and ask God to give you wisdom and grace, because husbands and wives are to work together in unity. They're to strive to have oneness as a husband and wife in the way they carry out their responsibilities. It may be different in every home, but again, you want to work out a system that works for you and your spouse. And then how you guide and raise and discipline your children. Lots of conflict happens between husbands and wives. Again, a husband and a wife come from two very different family backgrounds, and they may assume that their way was the right way. And so, again, each of these are areas we need to pray over, because the Holy Spirit knows how to work through any conflict, any challenge, any difficulty. The Holy Spirit is perfect. He knows the counsel that you need individually and collectively. He knows how to give you guidance and direction. But the key is, when you pray, through prayer, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to come and help you, to give you wisdom, insight, and direction. Everybody is wise to pray over each of these areas in your marriage, every husband and wife. And keep in mind, when you take the time to pray, amongst other things, pray the prayer of Jabez over each of these areas of your lives. Lord, thank you again for each and every couple listening. Anoint each one with the spirit of grace. Anoint them with the spirit of prayer. Empower every couple to be much more prayerful and extremely prayerful in every area of their lives together as husband and wife. Bless them according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, once again, I want to remind you, we continue to be in the campaign with Preborn as we're seeking to raise monies to provide at least 4,500 free ultrasounds for women who are considering abortion. Keep in mind, your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving her the chance to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. To call in to make a pledge, call this number 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to donate at AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. I would mention once again that the ministry that the Lord blessed my wife and I with the privilege of being a part of, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry that serves in the Mississippi Delta, the Lord blessed us with a beautiful brand new ultrasound machine for our mobile unit through the ministry of Preborn. And so again, we'll always be grateful to the great work and mission and ministry of Preborn. Please pray for the ministry of Preborn, and pray for your local pregnancy clinic. If you don't know where your local pregnancy clinic is, please find it. Pray daily for them, and I would encourage you to prayerfully consider giving to them financially, because, again, they could use your prayers and they can use your finances to help them carry out the great work that they know, that they do. Once again, the number to call to make a pledge to help provide free ultrasounds, 1-877-616-2396, or go online to AFR.net. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening and you have never given your heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today is a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer and commit your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. I want to remind you my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr. We hope to hear from you. Also, if you're wanting to get a copy of the article that we shared, again, the article is entitled Marriage, God's Way is Always the Best Way. Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you. Once again, if you'd like to help us go past the finish line of 4,500 free ultrasounds, if you'd like to call in to make a pledge, you can call this number, 1-877-616-2396, or go online to give at afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.